Amen.
Well, we're on page number 45 in the syllabus, I think. Now, you guys tell me that. My syllabus is different than yours. I should have had mine, except that I've had this syllabus forever. All right. For what purpose was the law given? All right, we see that.
For what purpose was the law given?
Now, if you need, have all of you got a syllabus? Okay.
Do you need one, young lady? Oh, you've got one. David, you've got one of these two. Everybody's got a syllabus.
All right. Oh, what purpose was the law given? All right. Let's talk about that for just a minute. We studied the law last week, Exodus, the 20th chapter. What purpose was the law given?
To lead them to the Savior.
What?
To lead them to the Savior.
But what did it do? What did the law do? What did it do?
We can't keep it.
What?
It shows we can't keep it.
We could keep the law.
Yeah.
Man don't. Man could keep the law, but he doesn't, because he doesn't want to. Your human nature will not allow you to keep the law. The humanity in you. You could do it. Just read the law sometimes and see. You have to cheat. You have to lie. You have to do something in life. That's what we think. Okay? But none of those things are beyond our doing. The law's there. But we're going to study it too. And see, it, all it is common sense. And it puts all mankind on a level keel, just like you put a level out there. There's no big guys and little guys. We're all sinners. All sinners. That's it. Okay? It is a leveler of humanity. And it's to keep men in the awe of God. To keep men in the awe of God. All right? Who was the only man that ever kept the law? Jesus. All right? But he was a man of God, wasn't he? Now, the law could be kept because he kept it. All right? You go and read his life a little bit, and sometimes you'll see that he was angry, wasn't he? Can you get angry but not sin? Sure. All right? You can get angry, but you don't have to sin. And now, it says, not to be a Savior, but to lead them to the one who could save them, Christ, and to be a leveler of all mankind. It put all mankind on one level. We are all sinners. And the law, basically, if you look at it, did almost the same thing as it did back under here, under Noah. It is the basic recipe for human government. If human government would follow the law, the government would be a whole lot more successful. It would be. There's law and order in the law, isn't it? And who are we following? It's not man's laws, but what? God's law. Jehovah is the one that spoke this law. Okay? And then it says in verse in number 31, it says, briefly describe the giving of the Ten Commandments. After the thunderings from the cloud and the earthquake, and the people feared and ran back. What did they hear there at the foot of Mount Sinai? What did they hear at the foot of Mount Sinai? This is something I want to bring out. What did they hear? They heard voices that sounded like what? But thunder, but what else? What is a very important sound in the Bible? The sound of what? Huh? What? Trumpets. Trumpets are very important. In the book of Revelation, the whole book of Revelation has a series of trumpet sounds, doesn't it? Okay? Trumpet sounds. And there, as God spoke to mankind from Mount Sinai, they heard, the rabbi says, they're not for sure whether a lot of angels were blowing trumpets or not. And what is a trumpet? What is a trumpet?
It's a brass instrument.
What is it, Bill?
Brass instrument.
I beg the pardon with you.
I'm going like a
Well, a trumpet today is. But what was a trumpet back then?
It was a ram.
A what, brother? A ram's horn. A ram's horn. A big old long curly ram's horn, and they would blow on it. The shofar, you know, the ram's horn. Okay? Now, we don't have a lot of trumpets talked about back in this period of time. But right here we have the first one in the promise. Where are we first introduced to the ram's horn?
Abraham's sacrifice?
You are sharp, brother. At Abraham's sacrifice, when Abraham took Isaac up on top of Mount Moriah. All right? When Abraham took Isaac up on top of Mount Moriah, he got ready to slay his son in Genesis, the 22nd chapter there. He got ready to slay Isaac, and what happened? Who spoke from heaven? Who appeared to him? Jehovah did. All right? And he said, don't touch your son. Go over there and look. There is a what? A ram caught in the thicket by his what? By his trumpet. That's what it was. Same thing. All right? So there we have it. Now, how many of you ever seen bighorn sheep or anything out running around? Wild sheep. Okay? Their horns are very tough, aren't they? Okay? What do they do with them? They fight. They bat each other to smithereens. They'll stand up and they'll fall toward each other and go wham, and you can hear that sound from a long, long distance. This is a ram. Now he's caught in the thicket with his horns. Okay? Unusual thing for a ram to be caught in a thicket with his horns. That's his most powerful defense item. Okay? What does that mean there with the horn? What was the... When Israel came into Jericho and they surrounded Jericho, what really won the battle? The ram's horn, when they blew the ram's horn. All right? It's a deliverance, isn't it? All right? On the Day of Atonement, on the Feast of Trumpets, what did they blow? They didn't blow them golden trumpets. They didn't blow all them things. You look on the Mormon deal, that you see angels blowing trumpets. They're not blowing trumpets. They're blowing ram's horns, people. The shofar, all right. They're blowing the ram's horns. The ram was caught by his horn, which was the sound of deliverance. That horn. That's what happened. There's the first horn that we're introduced into. Now, when God spoke, and number 31 now, Brother John, do you have your syllabus? Do you have a syllabus?
Yes, I do.
Okay, all right. I want everybody to have a syllabus. We got some more printed up. We're on page number 45, I think it is, and number 31. Describe the Ten Commandments. After lightnings and thunderings, they heard the voice of God, and they were scared to death. Scared to death. They were just petrified. And it wasn't brass trumpets now, was it, Brother Bill?
No, you're talking pre-brass.
Yeah. Now, the trumpets and our orchestras and stuff today are built after this sound. Okay? I used to be a lion and a coon hunter and a bear hunter and all that kind of stuff, and our dogs would get out there, and we had a horn made out of a horn made out of a cow's horn, and I'd blow that for the dog to come back. And call the dog in. This is the kind of horns that all of our modern horns were made after, is those horns. All right? Now, the ten words. That's what they call it, the ten words. After the thunderings and lightning and the cloud, what did the people do? They say, you talk to God for us. Let us be back here. It scared them to death. They didn't want to be near this holy God. All right? Now, you look at that tabernacle. We're going to get in and study that pretty in-depth, pretty intricately. All right? What's the fence there for, you guys, from last Wednesday night? What's the fence around the tabernacle for, that white fence?
The holy ground. And security.
What? It is to keep the sinner out of the presence of God. What was taking place on Mount Sinai was exactly what was typified in that tabernacle right there, that white fence. Now, if you study soteriology, that's the study of salvation, Baptists are the only one to teach that there's a difference between the family of God and the church, historically. All right?
All of those in the family of God get inside of here in Christ. All right? There's the altar of sacrifice, there's baptism. But many people that are saved never get into Orthodox churches, baptism. And right inside of here is where, out here is service. Just think about that for a while.
You don't serve the Lord here, you're going to get to do it forever.
Right here is immediate fellowship of God. Right here. Out here is the service center. Think about that for a while.
We're going to get into it a lot more thoroughly. All right? That fence there separated ungodly mankind from God. All right? And they walked in there, and when they walked in there, what did they have to come with? A sacrifice. What is the sacrifice? Something innocent had to die for that which was guilty. All right? What is our sacrifice? It's Jesus Christ is our sacrifice. All right. When we walk in there, you couldn't come in there without the sacrifice. All of those were brass poles that held up all of that white fence. What's brass in the Bible typify? What's brass typify? Judgment. All right. It stood on brass pillars. All right. We won't go into that any further. Let's go back into Exodus, the 20th chapter now. We'll understand that just a little better. God is beginning to give the law to Israel. The law was supposed to lead them to God and level out humanity. And there are no big people and little people. All of us are on the same level. Yes. Yes.
The Ten Commandments actually separates us from sinners. God separates us with His Ten Commandments from sinners, right?
If you try to keep the Ten Commandments as one of God's people, which you will, okay, if you're a child of God, first of all,
if you're just a child of God, I don't mean a church member, I mean a child of God, everything inside of here is supposed to be different than that which is on the outside of it. Because you should be holy. When the world looks at you, they ought to see a different person than the average Joe walking along the side of the road. You've got to be different before they can see Christ in you. What is one of the greatest ways for you to witness?
Example.
By example of your life. Not because you're a theologian. You can be a theologian and be a terrible witness. All right? It's because you're changed. Fernando's told me many times God showed His change in his life to the people that He's worked with all these years. And they'd argue with you sometimes, Brother Hernando, over the years, but when sometimes somebody come back 10 or 15 years later and say, well, now I am seeking God, and because of the way you lived and the way you act, not because of what he knew, but the way he lived and the way he acted, he was a witness to them. Why, that hussy there that Jesus met in the 4th chapter of John, that's all she was. She's just a shameless hussy, okay? There in the 4th chapter of John. That girl there that was sitting at the well, she'd had how many husbands?
Five
husbands. And the man that she was living with right then was somebody else's husband. Wasn't hers, somebody else's husband. And Jesus talked to her, and He changed her life. When she went back in the city, she had righteousness all over her because she had been changed. Her attitude, her ideas, her lifestyle had been totally changed. I don't think she let the old boy come back home after that. If he did, he took her as his wife. But the righteousness there, God sees in us something different. All right, now let's go to the 20th chapter. We finished at verse 5 last week, but I'm going to read quickly down there and then have you guys read this thing. Then God spoke all these words, what they called the 10 words. Write that down, the 10 words. This is what the Jews call the 10 words. Okay? Saying, I am the Lord your God. I am Jehovah your Elohim. I wish Luis was here today. I'd have him read that. None of you have the Sacred Name Bible with you, do you? All right. I am Jehovah your Elohim who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Egypt stands for what? The world. All right. What's the tabernacle? What's
this fence going to separate? It's going to separate salvation, separates you from the world. Okay? It's going to separate you from the world.
Out of Egypt. I brought you out of Egypt. And what? Out of the house of what?
Bondage
or slavery. Do you know what keeps people from being saved? The slavery of their sins. If you know somebody that they won't be saved because they don't think they can go on and live the right kind of lifestyle because they want to go back into the other lifestyle? So they'll be not saved instead. You're a slave to it. But once you're born again, then you're freed. You're set free from it. Okay? You're free from it. I want you to look at this law. As we study the law, we're going to spend some time doing that. Then we're going to go into the tabernacle. But I want you to study the law like you can keep it. And you just tell me whether you can keep it or not. If you don't keep it, it's because you don't want to keep it. You want to. All right? The house of slavery, you shall have no other... What? Gods. No other Elohims. No other gods beside me. What's it say in King James there, brother?
Thou shalt have no other gods before me.
All right. You're not going to have them beside me, is what it literally says. You're not going to have me and the world at the same time. Are you? If you have the world, you don't have me. You're either going to have to trust me and leave the world alone and the other gods alone, or you don't have me. You've got to make a choice here. All right? Now, how many gods do we have in the world? Huh? Now, I mean, the world's full of it, isn't it? What is the biggest problem in sin? What is the biggest sin? What is it?
Rebellion against God. Blasphemy. Pride. Unbelief.
Not
believing God.
Denying the Holy Spirit.
What is the foundational sin?
Lust.
Well, yes, that's it. Lust, and you can also spell that G-R-E-E-D, greed. Lust and greed. We want something. We want more. We want everything. Isn't that it? Every problem in the law, that just scares you, because we are guilty of it, aren't we? Are we guilty of lust and greed? All right. That's it. Unbridled greed. That's our problem. That's it. Unbridled greed. Aselgia. That's a Greek word. Unbridled. Just take the bridle off and just turn them loose. Let them run without a bridle. That's what the world does. And sometimes that's what God's people do. Okay? You now shall not make for yourself an idol of any likeness of what is in heaven, above the earth, beneath the earth, or down under the earth, or down under the water. Okay? Now, we know that Egypt had every kind of god that they could think of, from bugs, beetles, birds, fish, even the elements, rocks and water. Okay? And you shall not bend the knee toward them. You shall not serve them. For I, the Lord, your God, am a what? A jealous God. A jealous God. God is jealous. A godly jealousy. Do you have a right to be jealous of your wives? Huh? Well, do you? God is jealous of His wife. He wants her to be separate from the rest of the world. He wants her to be separate from the rest of the world. Yeah, visiting the iniquity, the sins. All right, what's it say there in King James? Does it say sins or iniquity?
The iniquity.
Okay, the iniquity of the fathers on what? On the children and on the what? The third and the fourth generations of those who what? Actively hate me. Does a God-hater affect his children? Do you realize that if you are saved and you serve God like you ought to serve, your children have a whole lot better chance of being saved than if you're some reckless, wild person? The best chances are they're going to follow your example. They will. Number six. All right, number six. Tony, are you there? Number six. Exodus 20 and verse 6. Okay, go ahead.
Showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments.
Showing loving kindness to thousands, thousands of generations. Boy, that's a lot of people in it. To those who love me and keep my commandments, that love me. Jesus said, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. How will you know them? You shall know them because they keep my commandments. All right. Number seven. Number seven, Dr. John.
You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless and takes his name in vain.
All right. For the Lord, for Jehovah, will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Now, this is when the name of God changed among the rabbis and Israel, right here. Circle this because this is one of the most important places in your Bible. Okay? The reason why they never spoke the name of Jehovah again as a nation, nationally, was because of this verse right here. They were afraid to use the name of God. Now, in John, the first chapter, and the first verse, it says what? Huh? In the beginning, kept on being the Word. What does the Word mean? Jehovah. Because they did not refer to the name of God. They would not use His name. What's the other term that they use for God? When they came to the name Jehovah, when they spoke of it. No.
The Word?
Huh?
The Word?
Where's the other word? No. That's Father. In the Old Testament, they really didn't even call God Father. Adonai. Adonai. When they came to the name, they called the name the Word. Or the name or Adonai. Now, this is the reason why they did it right here. This is the turning point in Israel right here. They were afraid to name the name of God. And that's why in John's Gospel, in the New Testament, we have the word what for Jehovah? Logos. All right? John 1:14, it says, Kai ho logos. And the word, the Jehovah, flesh he became. That's the fulfillment. But the Jews knew exactly who John was talking about. In the book of Revelation, where it says, and the Word, there, it talked about the Lamb, which is the Word, which is whom? Jehovah. All right? Right here is where all of that started. In verse number 7, and you shall not take the name of the Lord your God, Jehovah your Elohim, in vain. For the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. All right. Now, number 8. All right, number 8. Let's look at that one. Are you there, Anna?
Remember to serve the Sabbath day and keep it holy.
All right. Here is the Seventh Day Adventist hobby horse. Right here. This is our hobby horse. All right. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Why? Why do we have a Sabbath day? What is the Sabbath? What day is the Sabbath? Huh?
Friday night.
Friday at 6 o'clock until Saturday at 6 o'clock. That is the Sabbath. It is not Sunday. The Catholic Church changed the day of the what they call the Christian Sabbath to Sunday. That's what they call the Lord's Day. The Catholic Church did that. God didn't. Okay? The Sabbath is still from Friday evening to Saturday evening. But you started to say something, David.
It's the day to enter His rest.
All right. The Sabbath was God's rest because we rest in Christ. He is our Sabbath. And we're going to find out why He gave a Sabbath to Israel. All right? Why He gave a Sabbath to Israel. And it was a reason for because of greed. 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 We need to learn to trust in God. We need to learn to trust in God. God told Israel, you work on 6 days, and on the seventh day, trust me, I will take care of you. You don't have to work that day. I will take care of you.
But yeah. That's the only commandment that we don't keep.
We don't keep it.
We don't, don't we?
Huh?
That's the only commandment we don't do.
Okay. We don't keep it. We don't keep it because Jesus is our Sabbath. But we're going to find out why He gave it. Later on in the law, we're going to find out why He gave the Sabbath. All right? Why did He give the Sabbath? It was more than just that. First of all, He wanted to teach mankind to trust in God and rest in me. All right? Rest in me. Just leave it be and rest in me. Okay? When Israel was receiving manna from God and quail from God, what were they supposed to do on the Friday morning? They were supposed to gather enough for how many days?
2 days.
2 days. And then trust that it's going to last for the rest of the time. All right? God's going to take care of you. You have to trust in me. And some of them didn't, did they? What did God do to them? Some of them didn't. He killed some of them, didn't He? All right? Because they wouldn't trust and they wouldn't rest in Him because they were greedy. That was the problem. Greed again. Number 9. What's it say there? Brother David? 9. 20 and verse number 9.
6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates.
There is a really important right there. I want you to rest, and I want you to let your animals rest, because I love the animals. And I love your servants, because you know what? You're not better than your servants. They're on equal ground with me. All right? Your servants are going to get some rest. All of the animals, out the dumb animals out there, they're going to get the rest. Everybody's going to get the rest. Everybody, all the same, you're going to get the rest. All right? Even the what? What's that last thing say there, Brother David? The last thing?
Even the stranger.
Even the stranger that's in your home. If you go out and hire some slave from some other place that's not ethnically a Jew, you even let him rest. I'm holding you accountable even to the heathen. God's going to see something. The world's going to see something different in you. All right? That's what He said. The world's going to see something different in you. Verse number 11, Brother David Osh.
For 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it.
All right? He made it holy. For in 6 days the Lord made the what? The heavens. The word is Hashemayim. The heavens. Hashemayim. Now, the Hebrews didn't have a word for universe, did they? John 3:16 says what? For God so loved what? The cosmos. All right? Now, in 6 days, God made the heavens and the earth. And I want you to understand this also. This is very important in Hebrew, the Hebrew idiom, the Hebrew idea. It says in Genesis 1 and 1, it says, Barashith bara Elohim et Hashemayim with hearts. Okay? Barashith, in beginnings, and one of the beginnings, created and finished, a finished product, the heavens. Ha Shemayim. That word, if we really translated it correctly, it's plural, but it means the whole cosmos universe. All of the universe is what it means. The whole universe. He made all the universe. And then it says, Viharis, and the earth. After he had created the heavens, all of the cosmos, John 3:16, the cosmos, what did he do? He placed the earth in it after all the rest of it was made. Because that's where he was going to rule from, is that earth. That earth was going to be a special place in the universe. And he created the whole universe, and then he placed the earth in it. All right? Now that's different, isn't it? That's a different thought. That's the Hebrew idea. Okay? The Hebrew idea. The Lord God made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed that day. It's a blessing to you to be able to rest. Is it not? Do you like to be able to rest? Just take it easy one day? Isn't it nice? I had a guy, close friend of mine, he retired and he worked hard all his life. And he said, boy, he said, every day's like Saturday. Every day's like Saturday. You know what? In the heavens to come, it's going to be like the Sabbath, isn't it? Because we're going to see all the works of God. Number 12. Here's another thing. Number 12. Look at this one. Brother Floyd, are you there?
Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord God gives you.
All right, let's look at this. Deuteronomy 4, chapter, and Ephesians, the 6th chapter, they cross-reference to this. Deuteronomy 4 and 40 and 6 and 2. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long. What was the mother and the father so important about? Why are you supposed to honor mother and father? Huh? Your mother and your father are supposed to represent God to you. Right. Your mother and your father are supposed to represent God to you. If they do not, they are an absolute joke to God. Your mother and your father are supposed to lead you to Jehovah. All right? That's the whole purpose that God put them here. And not only that, was there old age pensions back there, back then? Huh? No, there wasn't. If you were a widow, and a widow indeed is what it says in places in the New Testament, what does a widow indeed mean? She had no children. She had no husband. She had no children to provide for. The father and the mother did everything they could to take care of their children when they grew up. Their whole lives were focused on them, taking care of them, educating them, getting them ready to in life. You know why? Because when they got old, those children were going to be taking care of them. And if they did not honor them, their mother and their father would starve to death or they would go without medical help or something. We need to honor our elders. We need to honor our mother and father. We need to take care of them. We need to do that. Honor your mother and father that your days may be prolonged in the land. All right? Prolonged in the land. What in the world is that talking about?
Have any ideas, David?
Prolonged in the land. Haaretz. Haaretz. What's it talking about? If your mother and father teach you correctly and your mother and father represent God, this is talking to Israel, basically. What would they get to do? What happened over here? What happened right here during this period of time? We have the Babylonian and Assyrian captivity.
Why did we have the Babylonian and Assyrian captivity? Because they did not listen to what their mothers and fathers had taught them, and the mothers and fathers had failed. What was one of the greatest Yom Kippur's and feast in all of the Old Testament times? What did God call one of the greatest times? You remember when the son of that ungodly woman and man came up, good King Josiah? Remember him? He cleaned up everything, and he went back to the Word of God, and he just purified all the land, and they celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles and the Feast of Trumpets and the Yom Kippur and all of that the way it was supposed to be celebrated in the land. Why did Israel somewhere fall short and get captivated and taken off into captivity? Because they did not honor their mother and their father. You, as a mother and a father, are responsible to your children to teach them the right way. You have no excuses. There are no excuses. You represent God to them. Little children in the first and second kindergarten, first and second and third grade, when they go to school, they look at their teachers like they are God. They're just filling their little minds with good things. And they are so excited about learning. A parent should be teaching their children about the things of God. If your parents do not teach you about the things of God, they are total failures in God's sight. They have lost their whole purpose in being. Honor your mother and your father, that your days may be long in the land which the Lord your God gives to you. What land was that? The land of Canaan. If they had followed and done what their mothers and fathers told them when they came into the land, they would still be there. If they didn't do what their mothers and fathers had, what would their days be long in the land? No. I had a lot of people say, well, you're going to live a long life. That's not what it's talking about here. I'm not talking about living a long life. This is talking about getting the inheritance of God. Now, if you're a good mother and father today, you're going to teach your children that inheritance of God is more holy than anything you can establish and gain in this world. All right. Number 13, Brother Rex.
You shall not murder.
All right, let's look at this. Now, all of these things that you had so far, could you keep them? If you wanted to? If you wanted to, could you do that? Yeah. All right, now how many of you have been a murderer? Huh? We're all guilty of the blood of Jesus Christ. But how many of us have gone out and killed somebody?
Well, yes.
Yeah. Jesus is going to get real definite about this later on. All right. But how many of you gone out and killed and committed murder? All right. That's an easier one to take care of, isn't it? Because most of us haven't killed somebody. All right. Is that a little easier for you to take care of, Brother David? That's an easier commandment, isn't it? All right. All right. Now, number 14. Let's look at that one. Brother David, yes, that David.
You shall not commit adultery.
All right. Now, there's another one now. That one's a little more closer to home, isn't it? That's accessible, isn't it? You can commit adultery and live out here in the society, huh? So we might be more liable to commit adultery than to kill somebody. I'm going to ask you about this, but have you done that? And Jesus said, if you looked upon a woman with lust and a woman looked upon a man with lust, then what? You've already committed adultery, so we've done that. But why did we do that? Because we wanted to. Lust and greed. Because we want something else.
that somebody else has.
That's for Satan's end, who puts the material things in front of us.
Uh-huh. Brother Bill, number 15. Number 15, Brother Bill.
Thou shalt not steal.
How many of you are bona fide thieves? Huh? They go out and steal. Go out and steal and every day. Well, you know what? That's against the law.
Well, a lot of people say they borrowed it.
Oh, yes. They borrowed it. Yeah.
I like that.
That's a real good term. Borrowed. I know people, if you ever loaned them anything, it was one way. It was gone. It was stolen. It was gone. That's it.
We're not supposed to borrow either, remember?
No. Yeah. All right. You shall not steal. All right, number 16 now. Number 16. This is another one. And by the way, all of these penalties were what? What's the penalty to all of these things?
Death.
You mean if you work on the Sabbath, it was a death penalty? If you committed adultery, it was a death penalty? If you stole, it was a death penalty? Now look at number 16 here, Brother Mike.
You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor.
Thou shalt not commit perjury.
That means you old hens quit clucking.
You shall not commit perjury. Perjury. Why do people commit perjury?
Money.
Money or power. One or the other. It's got to do with money or power. People commit perjury because of money or power. Why do lawyers lie? Well, brother, there's truer words never spoken. I can tell you one thing. Any lawyer I ever had and represented me, I said, don't lie. I said, if you lie, I'll call you down. Just tell the truth. That's all you need to do is just tell the truth. If you're in a court of law. And I went to the court of law, and I thought in a court of law, that was holy ground. I really thought that. I was a little baby or something. I don't know. A napios or a technone or something besides a grown-up, because I thought, when you walked across that deal down where they check all your metal and everything else, and you walk in there, you're supposed to tell the truth. I got in the courtroom, and I never saw so much lying in all my life. I sat there, I can't believe this. What's going on in here? This is the court of law. I asked my attorney, he says, you think that the sheriff's going to lie? Yeah.
Is the Pope Catholic?
I said, man, what's going on in this? I had an education. You shall not what? Bear false witness. That was a capital punishment for that. When you bear false witness, when you commit perjury, you're wanting something somebody else has. Isn't that right? You're wanting something somebody else has. My wife is a very smart woman. She is. She's brilliant. Genius. That's the smartest woman I believe I ever saw. She can do anything. Well, anyway, she had a niece that was pregnant one time, and she made an invention. She invented this girdle-type thing, a maternity support thing. She patented it. Then a lot of money went down to patent the thing, everything else. And she tried to market it. We went down and tried to market the thing, and the people that were going to develop it and everything else, they said, you know what, you got a problem here because somebody's already producing this thing. They've already marketed it all over the world. They've stolen your patent. They have stolen your patent. Why did they steal the patent?
Greed.
So we got a lawyer, and we had the lawyer send that company a letter, Mother's World. Yeah, Motherhood or Mother's World. Sent them a letter and said, would you like to license? You're infringing upon a patent. Would you like to license the patent so you can produce this legally? They wouldn't even respond. Because if they responded, they would have said instantly that we are in the wrong. You ignore them because they know that we couldn't get a lawyer to sue them. Because they would change the venue right back there to Pennsylvania where they are, and we'd have to get a lawyer back there and do all this stuff. And all of it was over what? Greed. 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 You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Number 17. Almost finished for today. Number 17. Terry.
You shall not covet your neighbor's house.
Oh boy. You shall not covet your neighbor's house.
You know, dear, that's the only one that I don't have a problem with. Seriously, I don't want to clean my own house.
Why would you want to clean your neighbor's house? I remember when Bill came out to my house, he said, I'm glad you got this and not me. Because I don't want to take care of this mess. I'm glad you got it and not me. You shall not cover your neighbor's house. And then what else does it say? Your neighbor's wife.
Unless she's got more money than you.
Bill. Are you still trying to wife swap and all this stuff?
Now,
are you
then? I was thinking, you know, a guy can see if he's doing better than
the worst. These machines. They ought to have capital punishment for machines that won't mind. A hammer? All right. A hammer. If they think it didn't cost $1,200, I'd hammer it. All right. You shall not cover your neighbor's house. And what else, Terry? Your neighbor's wife. And that means husband, too. Or what else?
Or his maidservant.
Now, how many times have you... Wait, just hold on right there. How many times have you seen companies trying to hire somebody else's servant? Worker. Wait just a minute.
Happens all the time.
All the time. Have you ever been guilty of that? Yeah. Trying to hire the neighbor's servant? The worker? What was the punishment for that? Huh? Death. But what is the problem? What is the problem?
Greed.
Right again, greed. All right. Male servant or his what?
Maid servant.
Or his female servant or his what?
Ox or donkey.
Well, his ox. You shall not want to steal your neighbor's ox. Ox was like a John Deere tractor back then. I mean the best one. Or a Case or a Massey Ferguson or something. This was the best farm engine that you had. And if you had a good ox, you had something that could make you money. So sometimes, boy, that's a good-looking ox you got out there. The Indian people, they had a recipe for all of that. They had a recipe for that. The Indians did. If you went over to your neighbor's house, and you were sitting over there, and you say, boy, that's a good-looking horse out there in your yard. You know what that Indian would do? Huh? He'd give it to you. He'd give it to you. He'd just give it to you. I mean, it's yours now. Take it. If you like it. You didn't tell them that.
He always expected somebody with something to turn.
Yeah. I've seen this happen in modern times. I went over to a Indian friend that was real Indian. Real Indian. Not modern Indian, but real Indian. And I said, oh, I love those geese out there. He gave me all his geese. I love to hear them. He gave them to me. Right then. Here you are. I said, aren't they beautiful? Huh?
Was he tired of listening?
No. I told him I liked them. In Indian society, in American Indian society, you didn't tell the man that you coveted his horse, his wife. You know, I'll end up with one. Or anything else. Because he was going to be the opposite of greed. The American government, when they took over the American Indian, they had to change him into greed. They did not like that. They said it was against the law for him to give this stuff away. That's not right. You will end up with nothing. What does this say right here? You're not supposed to covet your neighbor's ox, or what else does that say?
Donkey.
What was a donkey?
Transportation.
Most of them rode donkeys, or they used donkeys to transport stuff. And then what else there?
Or anything
that belongs to your neighbor. Boy, what a change it would make in American society if America could do that. Yeah. Well, that's what they had, the block houses a long time ago. You know what, the track houses, things like that, all of them were the same. All right. Well, I think that's where we're going to quit today. And then we'll come back and thrash around in this some more.
You know, Jim, that I don't know, that command somehow with me doesn't confuse, because, you know, I can't even imagine a guy coveting some kind of, like, maybe it's just because you guys know I kid a lot, but I'm so crazy about my life, but I can't even picture coveting somebody else's stuff, or cars, or my dad just to tell me I was the least materialistic person he ever met in his life. He said, doesn't anything mean anything to you just like that? Because if I had it, I'm like that, I'd give it away. But that, to covet what somebody else has got, just doesn't compute in my mind. I've never been jealous. In fact, when my brothers and stuff have more than me, I like it because it's less worry on me.
You don't have to worry about them.
Yeah, I don't have to worry about them.
Don't have to worry about them.
That doesn't compute my brain.
But just look at it now. What is the only thing that God is jealous over? What? Those that worship him, his wife. His wife. You've got a right to be jealous over your wife. You do. Well, in history until modern times now, if you came home and found your wife in bed with somebody else, it was totally permissible for you to kill him and her. Just put them to death right there on the spot. That was a law all over the world for a long, long time. You have a right to do that, they said. But we changed the laws. All right. Well, did you learn something today in the Word of God? I hope you did. I try to make each one of these lessons really good for you. Because I'll tell you what, it's really good for me to study and get them ready for you. All right. Well, Brother David, I'm going to turn it over to you.